If your word, we come, we hunger for your word. We come knowing that your word will give life. We thank you, Father, that your word will establish us, that we will not sway to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but our feet will be settled down, fully cemented on your word. For heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall not pass away. So, Father, we praise you for opening your word unto us, strengthening your body here in your word, and teaching us to the spirit of truth. Thank you, Father, for your word, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what is that? Everybody say that. Liberty. Liberty. Say that again. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, he's my darling. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Let the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Everybody, let the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. That's how we discern the Spirit of God from the Spirit of the world. For the Spirit of the world and every wrong doctrine, wrong spirit put people in bondage. It causes you to be held in bondage and anything is not of God. Man's traditions always put you in a yoke of bondage. The Pharisees and the Sadducees tried to bind Jesus up, but he could not. They could not, because the Spirit of the Lord is on him, and he wants liberty. That's how we discern the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the world. When God moves, when a doctrine is from God, when a teaching is from God, it will lift you up, it will set you free. It will never bind you. It will never bind you. Never put you in the bondage. Never put you under oppression, suppression, depression, and all the shame. It will never at all do that. To have a wrong doctrine, always do the opposite. There's a spirit of God, everybody. There's a spirit of the devil and the enemy that always puts people in bondage. But the doctrine of the Lord, the truth, shall set you free, Jesus said. Where the spirit of the Lord is, people are liberated. They are free. Your spirit is free. There's a difference. You can discern anointing. When an anointing is of God, when it comes upon you, you always is free, lighter, freer. But the serving is not of God, it's from man. Man's doctrine. You feel heavier after that. It's a world of a difference between light and darkness. And that's the same difference applied here. Then we have in verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are the unveiled faith. Last Sunday we talked about the veil, the mind being the veil, the mind being the blockage, as we have seen in the context of the previous verses. How the veil is in the mind. The presence of God is veiled from it by our unrenewed mind. And we have to cut that off, remove that veil from our mind. And then we will be able to look at the Lord. For when you look at the Lord, you can see the Lord with unveiled face. And when we see the Lord, we will be changed by what we see. We will be changed by what we see. And the Lord, revelation to our lives is progressive. Yes, we can take things away and look at you too as you look at me. Yes. I have to look at people's eyes while I'm speaking for the Lord. And because I can see your spirit in your eyes. Praise God. Now all you can open your eyes, praise God. we look at the Lord with our open faces. That is not talking about our physical faces. Something inside us looks at the Lord. As we see, we are transformed. We receive what we see, what we perceive of the Lord is. And it's vitally important. How you perceive the Lord will determine how you live your life. How you perceive God will be how you live your life and respond on this earth. Some people think that God is the big man up there who has a big club. His antenna is small, but imagine it was bigger. God is a big man up there with a big club. And every time you do something wrong, it clubs you over the head. And when you fall into sin, it clubs you over the head. And if you have that kind of impression of God, your life will be changed according to what you see. God is the same. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same. But we perceive Him differently. If you see God to be a hard-time master, to be a very judge, I know God is a God of judgment, but a heart of heart is a God of love and judgment. So you perceive God to be a very hard judgment God. Then your life and your attitudes will be the same. You will become what you see of God. It's important how we see the Lord. Each person sees, have a perception of the Lord in a different manner. In a different manner. There was a brother called Johnny Buckingham. And one day he was called to speak to pastors and church leaders. And so all of them, hundreds of them were gathered together in Heritage USA, where Jim Baker had his ministry. And as he was sitting there waiting for his turn to minister, he was going to touch on all those Haslams and all those sharp edges and all those unnecessary things that ministers had added on their lives. And as he was sitting there waiting for the word of the Lord to speak unto the minister, the Lord began to open his eyes. He looked around him and see all the ministers of God. Some of them were dressed in clergy garb and long robes with their collars and backwards. Anybody is going to change the collar turned backwards, that's alright, you like it that way, it'll be hot for me. And there were some who were dressed in business suits with gold all over their fingers and hands. And there were others who looked poor and seemed to go to a direction. And each one of them was called ministers of God. Each one of them was serving the Lord in their own way. And as he looked around at each one of them, he said, the Lord began to speak to him and speak to his heart. He began to realize, look, this is how the person dressed, this is how a person behaves, this is how this person dressed, like he is going on a business somewhere, looks more like a businessman than a minister of God. You know, some people have a conception how ministers of God should look like. Minister of God. They have a conception how they look like, how they should behave. They tell you exactly how they should behave. Usually it's influenced by the background. But there were so many different ministers there when the Lord was speaking to his heart. As you look around, suddenly it struck him. Each one of them was following Jesus in their own way. Each one of them was having a certain perception of Jesus. Jesus was the same. But each one understood Jesus in a different way. And according to their understanding, they behave and live their lifestyle. Each one has a slight difference in perception of Jesus. And through church history, we know a lot of things have been done in Jesus' name that were not Jesus. There was a man in the pit that was caught speeding down the highway in the wrong direction. When the police come on him, they mention the police too, speeding on the highway in the wrong direction. And when the police come on him, he said, Jesus told me, if I could drive on this highway, on the opposite way, and reach right to the end, he would give me a fantastic 10 minutes. Jesus said that to him. There was another minister, another person, who did something else and said that Jesus said that. All through history, people have said, Jesus said that to me, Jesus said this to me. The Catholics in those early days in the crusade, have much fall. They have killed Muslims in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine that? Right now, people are killing each other in Ireland. Protestants killing the Catholics in the name of Jesus, Catholics bombing the Protestants in the name of the Lord. A lot of things are done in the name of the Lord Jesus, but Jesus doesn't seem actually to say those things. So you see, everyone seems to perceive Jesus or hear from Jesus. But there's only one Jesus, there's not many Jesus. One Jesus. And according to what we perceive of Jesus, we will behave accordingly. Every one of us have a concept of Jesus. The last week I got you all to close your eyes and meditate. And I said, look at Jesus. Imagine Jesus. Imagine God before you. Some of you close your eyes and you just see light. Some of you close your eyes and you see Jesus on the cross. Some of you close your eyes and you see Jesus on the throne. I don't know how he looks like him, but you saw him on the throne. Some of you close your eyes and you see the ball on fire. Some of you close your eyes and you saw the picture in your living room. Some of you close your eyes and you saw Jesus with white hair, white beard. Some of you close your eyes and saw Jesus with reddish black hair, with a long beard. All of us are supposed to perceive Jesus in our own way, and then we are perceiving Jesus. As much as we know how. What influences us? And that's very important. According to what we see of God inside us, we will be accordingly. We will be transformed through the image of Jesus that we see. If we don't have the correct image of Jesus, if our image was colored and made up by our tradition, we will have a distorted view of Jesus that we thought was a full view of Jesus. How does Jesus look like? How is he actually supposed to be? You hold in your hand the true revelation of Jesus. The Word of God tells you exactly the image of Jesus we should have. So if people try to go into visualizing without the Word, they are heading for trouble. Because Satan can clothe himself as an angel of light, the Bible says. But there's a difference. Liberty is a difference. One is the bondage, one is the liberty. But that doesn't mean that we must get rid of images. That rather means we should have an accurate picture of Jesus inside us. If you close your eyes and you saw Jesus on the cross, your Christian life is usually around the cross. That's as far as you go in your Christian life. If you close your eyes and always see Jesus on the throne, your Christian life is usually revolving around Jesus on the throne. There's a difference in the level of life you will be able to achieve. What we see will program us to what we will be in a spiritual life. It's all right to know Jesus on the cross and constantly, but here's the key. We must know Jesus as he is today. We must see Jesus as he is today. So those who many times revolve the Christian life around the cross, sometimes never realize the power of the resurrected Christ. Why? Because this is holding you back all the time in your life.
the image that you saw, Jesus. You have not graduated to the resurrection yet. You're still at the cross. What we see of Jesus today is important. When we perceive Him correctly, we will live the power life, the victorious life that He wants us to live. So the Word of God is to produce an image within us. We will read certain scriptures before we proceed. Here, in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says, we are with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Word. And you see what a mirror is in verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. The Word is represented as the mirror you look through. The Word of God is a mirror you look through. I know in Hebrews, in the book before that, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is something you grasp. Evidence is something you hold on to. Evidence is something tangible. So faith holds and sees something in the spirit realm. Faith is not some nothing. It is something in the spirit realm that you see in your view. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is writing about his own life. Says in verse 16 and 17. 2 Corinthians 4, 15 and 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now here's the conclusion in verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Look, Paul saw some things in the spirit realm. Paul is a man who visualizes. Abraham is a man who visualizes. He saw the sin in his children. He saw the stars of his children. David is a man who visualizes. He says, I saw the Lord sitting at the right hand. Jesus is a man who visualizes. He was Sabbath too. He saw the glory that was ahead when he went to the cross. The man of God who will achieve great things and attend the impossible through the things of God and conquer. And he conquered my conquest in this world. What a man who visualized an ambition. Paul was a man of vision. He says here that the things which are temporary. The things which are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When you're born again, within your spirit, your spirit man has eyes to see. The spirit man within us is not some rock. How does our spirit man look like? Very much like the physical man, but more glorious. Without some of the natural organs and situations, but it's a spiritual image likened unto your physical. When you all go to heaven, and we greet each other, they all are going to be one big block. And then as I look over at you, I've got a John, and I've got a John block, and I've got a high Peter block, and we're all blocking around. And then God, look at all his children are one big zero, you know, one block.
Now we will have our features more glorious. We will look like the image of God. We will have hands. We will have legs. We will have eyes. We will have ears to enjoy the music of God. We have a mouth to taste the heavenly food. Otherwise, what the marriage supper for? Of the Lamb. Can you imagine Rock attending the marriage supper of the Lamb? Jesus said, see, Rock dropping on the food, couldn't he? No, our inward man has time. And the body of Christ has not developed the spirit man enough for God to flow through. The spirit of man within him is the candle of the Lord. The spirit that is within us will be God's instrument to guide us and lead us on this planet earth. And we will tap on that which God has given us. Now there are a lot of things that we have to learn in our spiritual life. One of the areas we have to learn is to hear God's voice. We hear God's voice by training our spiritual ears to discern God's voice. The thoughts that come to you can only come from three realms. From the devil, from yourself, or from God. So you have to be strong to discern that the word will help you. But just as we train people to hear the voice of the Spirit, we must train people to see the things of the Spirit. Some people develop their ears more than their spiritual eyes. But the Bible says in Ephesians 1 verse 17 and 18, Paul prays that the Ephesian Christians will get their eyes enlightened. That their spiritual eyes would be opened. Here's a scripture for you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. God loves to reveal himself. And we have to develop our spiritual eyes. If you notice among those Christians that grow strong in the Lord, there are some Christians that operate a lot from their hearing God's voice. Some Christians are more mystical, they tend to see a lot of visions. But that doesn't just mean that the rest of us cannot have it. See, our spirit man has changed. Our spirit man can smell the presence of the Lord. The Bible talks about the presence of Jesus. In heaven we can smell the heavenly flowers. In heaven we can taste the heavenly food. In heaven we can hear the angelic choir sing. In heaven we can see with our spiritual eyes. In heaven we can touch each other. We can hug each other. We can shake hands with each other. We can love one another in heaven. There are five spiritual senses and there are five natural senses. And we have to develop our spiritual senses. This morning we are talking only on one area of our sense, the eye of our spirit. Where does your spirit reside? Many people say the heart is the spirit. That's correct, but need to qualify it. Because Jesus said in Matthew 15 and Mark chapter 7, that from the heart of man proceeded evil thoughts, adultery, and murders, and fornications. Right? Jesus said that in Matthew 15 and Mark 6, Mark 7. So if the heart is the spirit, how can this proceed from the heart, the spirit of man? Then what is the heart? What is the Bible definition of heart? Most of the time, many times the word heart refers to your spirit man. But there are times when it refers to a different area. And here is where the heart usually actually refers to. The heart of man. The heart of man is an area that links between your spirit and your soul. See, there's a link there. And it's right at that point, it's the point of your personality, the point of your being. We're not talking about your natural heart that you hear beating on you when you put your hand there. That natural heart that pumps blood. That natural heart doesn't think in that sense. We think with our mind. So when people use the word heart, the word heart is the central point of our being. That is why people always say, heart to each other when they want to convey their love, right? Anybody guilty of doing that? Do you know that the actual heart doesn't look that nice? It looks something like that. So what do? You send a piece there with an arrow on it. The actual heart doesn't look that nice with a lovely curve, you know?
Doesn't look that nice. Nobody has looked that way. In fact, the job is because I looked that way. The hospital I used to go. Doesn't look that way. But we are talking about something inside of me, and I say, I love you with all my heart. It's your central point of my being. I mean, it's just, the word heart is just a phrase to be not a central point of being, not our actual physical heart. I mean, none of us will say, I love you with my liver. And your husband goes to your wife's home and says, I love you, darling, with all my liver. The next day you might have liver for breakfast and lunch. Just to show you how much you love you with a liver, huh? Say, I love you, honey, too, with liver. We have toasted liver for breakfast, we have liver curry for lunch, and we have liver roasted for dinner. No, we are talking about a central point of our being. The heart. The heart. The heart is where the power of the imagination resides. When some people hear power of imagination, they react. Christians that react have to stop reacting. Christians should not react, Christians should act. When they hear positive preaching, they say, no one listens to you, you know. And they jump to all kinds of things. When they hear imagination, visualizing, and there's a book that came out among evangelicals that really went against all the teaching that the Holy Spirit has given in visualizing. They get scared, imagination. But here is where we have to realize, when the Spirit of God moves, He has to move to you. He needs an instrument to move through. So He has to move through your spiritual hands, your physical hands. He has to move through your spiritual eyes and your physical eyes. He has to move through your spiritual ears and your physical ears. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 6, 7, 8, I serve God in my spirit. You find it in Romans 1. It was 9, okay? I know where you read a whole lot. Verse 6 to verse 9 says, it's probably, I serve God with my spirit. See, God is to work through our spirit. And our spirit has senses, has organs, has spiritual organs that they are different from natural organs. But God has to work through our spirit man. And if our spirit man is not developed in those areas of hearing, of seeing, God cannot move. So we have in fact a spiritual eye. When you close your eyes, your thoughts can come from three areas. Thoughts can come from the devil, yourself, or God. Your imagination can come from three areas. Can come from the devil, yourself, or God. But where your imagination resides, that is where your heart is. That is where the direction of your life will be. So what to do when you close your eyes? See, the word, the picture is supposed to produce an image in you. It's a mirror. Example, words are like this. If I say, you close your eyes for a moment, a dog. How have you thought that? Some of you, because you've seen our patient dog, you saw our patient dog. Some of you like Timberland, so you think some big size Timberland dog. Sit down, you saw a dog. Now I thought, a black dog. What is it? A black dog. Words produces images and pictures in you. They produce it consciously and subconsciously. Nobody thinks in words. Everybody thinks in pictures. Take note of it. When I say black dog, your mind doesn't go like that. Like a cut, 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 cut. B-L-A-C-K-D-O-G. All you see is black dog in words. You never thought about it. Nobody's mind goes that way. I don't want you to take you out. Or maybe I could use you for something like that. Anyway, we all see it in nature. And God works through us. People find it hard to believe God can work through our imagination. Well, let me tell you, God works through your spoken word, right? God works through your hands, right? God works through the preacher's mouth. And your physical organs are as much used by God as God wants to use your internal being. See, God has to work through us. That's why the Bible says, sanctify ourselves unto the Lord. And so, inside us is an image.
we all must have the correct image of God. How do we get that? The Bible will give you the correct image of Jesus. When you see the Jesus the Bible talks about, clearly, I mean, you must see clearly. The vision must not be fuzzy. If you have a fuzzy vision, you have a fuzzy life. You may praise God and thank God for your fuzzy, fuzzy hair, but you will find it very hard to live life with a fuzzy, fuzzy vision. We cannot be fuzzy in our vision. It must be clear cut before the Lord. The Word will produce the right image of Jesus. It will break down and knock down all the wrong images formed by man's traditions that we have been taught. How Jesus was loved. The Jesus you and I should know is the Jesus in the Bible. They told me in the seminary that the Jesus we know does not heal anymore. But the Jesus I read about in the Bible still heals. Anybody say thank God for healing, amen? Yeah. Jesus still heals. The Jesus they tell you sometimes is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is the Jesus that will meet the needs of the world. And the Jesus that you see inside your heart, your imagination, your spirit must be the same Jesus. And you hold on to that image of Jesus, your life will transform according to the Jesus. Up to now, we are not progressed because the image of Jesus has not been the Jesus in the Bible. Some of you, the Jesus you know was the Jesus who went to the cross. The Christian life is not so much full of joy, but a lot of agony involved. And a lot of sorrow. Change the image. Jesus is resurrected. He is now the right hand side of God. How does Jesus look like? Somebody asked me. Read Revelation 1. The description of him sitting on the throne with the glory of God, the fire of God on him. His faithfulness, bronze in color, with the fire of God. All the countenance of his being was glorious. That's the Jesus you should know. Not the baby Jesus. Christians have seen the baby Jesus for so long. No wonder, because the baby Jesus could not help them much. He will only be able to say like Simeon, "Now I'm ready to die. I have seen baby Jesus." See, you couldn't do anything more. All you had is a ticket to heaven. You're ready to go. I'm saying, but your life was always fire. The image you see. So the next time when you come into prayer, have the correct image. That is why, if your prayer don't have enough of the Word, you cannot get as deep in God as you have with the Word. See, the Word must be strong in you to have the right images. Then when you come to God, you're coming to the correct image of God. The God within the Bible, and with that image of God as you worship God. Anytime people ask me, what do you see when you close your eyes and visualize Jesus? I see Jesus in Revelation 1. I thank Jesus that he has died for me on the cross. But the cross is my past, not my future. I always see Jesus on the right hand side of God. And you know what, how the blessings are in Revelation, in Ephesians 1? Verse 3, they say, you have all the blessings of Jesus Christ. God has blessed you with all his future blessings. In the heavenly place. So in your image of God, you must come before Jesus at the throne. At the throne. And your prayer life will be transformed when you see him at the throne and just worship him. Give him your love. It is a guarantee by the Word. If you see Jesus, you will be changed to be like him. We become what we see. Many times when I enter the deep worship, I just close my eyes and just see Jesus as the Bible shows on the throne of God. Many times I cannot see clearly because it's too bright. When I close my eyes, I see him. But I know he's at the throne. And I see myself coming right before his throne, kneeling before him. He's so big and glorious. I'm so small before him. I'm just worshiping him. And in the presence of the Lord, there will be that anointing that flows constantly. Some of you who were here came forward on Sunday and you prayed for others, when you felt the power of God fall, flow through your life. Some of you prayed and And some of you ask me why some people fall, somebody fall in the power of great. Me tell you again that if you develop your spiritual ears and your spiritual eyes as you minister, then the anointing of God can flow in a fuller way. See, there are two concepts of what people develop, the analytical concept and the mystical concept of healing. So some of us are on the analytical side, you need to develop the mystical side, visualizing. Some on the visualizing side, you tend to go into extreme, you need to develop an analytical side to the world side in your life. When you have both in your life, you'll be able to minister in a balanced way. You won't go off on tangent. And you will notice that when you minister, it's not on the mystical side that seems to experience. So on the analytical side, you can do the teaching. But you must have both sides. You must have both sides. And to retain the power of God in your life that you have received, if you are praying and the power of God flows in such a way that people become ministered to the throne of God, you can lose it too. After you receive, you can lose it too. How to keep it? You must constantly come before God to worship Him. In His presence, and you will never lose it. Once you receive something from God, it is yours if you learn to keep it. And how to keep the power of God in our life? You must develop that vision of Jesus in your own life. And fellowship with Him, see Him clearly sitting on the throne of God, worship His voice of God. Let His presence fill your life and overflow through your being. And the presence of God will come strong on you. Sometimes it comes like waves. It has come upon me like waves. For 10 years, after 2 years before the seminary, I've never fallen under the power before. I know some of you are running around in your own life. Because I tend to be more on the analytical side in my Christian life. I never developed the visualizing side. Then God began to deal with me and told me, you're developing an analytical study to develop on this side. And so began to spend time with God. And graciously, one of those times, when I just began to yield to Him and just enjoy His presence. There's not much that I talked to God. All there was a transference of His life flowing in me. His life just charging me over and over again. And it got so strong that in my own room, I just went down under the power of God. From that time onwards, when I myself born under the power of God, when I ministered, people also come under the power of God. See, you must have it in your mind before others have it too. You cannot give what you don't have. So there is an area of mystical that we must see Jesus. Paul says, you see, you can't see. You see the Spirit of God moves. For the several years after I was baptized in the Spirit, I only learned to move in one area. The voice. I hear His voice. Occasionally there are visions, but not so much. But the Spirit there with me and said, He also did images in Antiquia. Right now, there are pictures going around. You just have to buy a TV, put on a TV, turn it on, you get a picture. You know where these pictures are? They're in the air now. They are spiritual implantation of images that the Spirit of God is giving. If we will put our spiritual antenna up and pick it up, we can pick it up. We can pick it up. You open the spiritual eyes. As I said, your imagination is where you lie. Don't try to imagine your own thing. Just leave it alone. Sometimes it takes about 1 hour praying before you get anything in the spirit realm. I don't try to. You cannot manipulate the spirit. There's no way. Reason there is not there. But when you come, you just pray the spirit, worship Him, enjoy the room. Then without any effort from you, just from the spirit in you will come. You begin picking up the images of God. And through that, the spiritual realm will become so real to you. Exactly like Paul said. When angels are there, when I'm worshiping the Lord, I'm aware of angels. I'm even aware of where they are standing. If there are demons there, you can see them in the spirit realm. And you can deal with them. If Jesus turns and walks in our midst, you can even see Him in your future as walking in God. You see, the spirit realm is real. Real. It's there. Paul says, it's real, it's eternal. An angel is a real being. Jesus is a real person. These are real things you're talking about. And the contact point is from your spirit being. Your spiritual eyes will be opened up to Him through the Word of God. Every heart being grabbed, every head bowed right now. So come before God. Close your eyes right now. Let the image of God and the vision of God move in your heart and mind. As you close your eyes and you begin to see the presence of God moving in our midst. The angels of God, and I know exactly where they are in the spirit realm. They are right above us. See, the spirit realm is real. We must train our spiritual eyes to see that realm. See that realm. Right now, I need to have an image of God. The image of God. You must see God in you. See God. Have an image of God. See yourself coming before the presence of God. And that's what we do. You cannot manipulate the Spirit, but the Spirit tells us what to do. As you see God's image, as you wait upon God, as if there's nothing, no movement, all you see is God's presence. And that's what we do, that's how we move in the Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't say anything, we don't do anything. If the Spirit says something, we do it. See? And you just wait upon Him. And if He doesn't tell you anything, what you do is you just worship Him and praise Him and sing to Him and bless Him and enjoy His blessing. And sometimes when you just deep in worship, you begin to receive images of you doing something. You have an image of yourself standing up in the congregation, it just flashed to you, prophesying. Or you ministering. Or you praying for somebody somewhere who is not here. That's what the Spirit wants you to do. That's how to be led by the Spirit. Oh, the heart of God is so clean. The Spirit of God is clean so many times. So many do not let themselves be led by the Spirit of God. Let God write to you and give you images. Vision, or what I call a flash of a vision. And he might want you to do something today. That's how Jesus communed with the Father. Every morning when he gets up, the Father shows him what to do. And every day of your life will be exciting. Every day of your life will be led by the Spirit. Every day you will hear what God wants you to do. Every day you'll be doing what God wants you to do. Every day there will be miracles in your life. It's good to be led by the Spirit of God. Yeah, just enjoy His presence. Enjoy His presence. Enjoy His presence. Right? And in this atmosphere, aren't those of you who are ministering to people and want to make a qualification here, only those of you whom you have prayed for others and you do not know what this praying and minding of the Spirit of God is like. And you have a desire for it to operate in your heart. And that's good. That's something that's a sign from the Lord. It will bless people. Now, I need to come right up. God will put that anointing on you to minister. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.